even if you don't have the sale, but you have the inventory, for example, breweries, if they brew before they actually have their license issued, that is a violation. So I would say that we might want to have a resolution of clarification to say if the specific intent of the distilling of the ethanol is for medical purposes only, then that is not, would not be considered a violation under the Title IV statute.
Well, yep. I mean, if we do that, then we're opening a whole can of worms to every other thing. I mean, people sniff glue, they drink mouthwash, like Tara said, and people do stupid stuff all the time. And you can't possibly regulate that. I mean, Rex was talking about Lysol and stuff. I mean, if it's...
But that would be a licensee. But that would be a licensee.
Right.
Right.
So I kind of agree with Sarah and Rex's thought that we don't really have any business in Jones regulating this. If it's not intended, I mean, hand sanitizer isn't intended to be an alcoholic beverage. I mean, it seems pretty clear. Am I missing something that, I mean, to me it seems obvious that this isn't our thing to regulate, but...
So this is Glenn. I think Dana brings up a good point, and I think this is a slightly unique situation in that we have a current licensee that's a manufacturer for brewery products that is expanding their business line into distillery, and by circumstance, we as a state are in this unique situation with the COVID-19 outbreak. Where the product of that equipment can be repurposed for public health utilization. And so we are regulating licensees, and that ethanol at some point in the future coming off this equipment will presumably be turned into beverage grade. And I believe what the licensee is requesting is clarity that, they're trying to do the right thing by the regulatory agencies, us, and I would like us to be able to give them the green light to do this while not blowing the doors open for what could be misapplications of this. And I certainly agree with the position that we're not within our purview to regulate, mouthwash and hand sanitizer itself per se, but in this specific instance, we've got a licensee who's expanding their product line during this transitional time by unique circumstances. I feel like we should be able to give them an explicit green light. And I think that's what they're seeking, is that clarity, because my experience with them, knowing them a little bit, they're a good bunch of people trying to do right and want to follow the rules and don't want to play near the edge. And so I want to make sure they've got guidance and go ahead without worrying.
And Mr. Chair,
well, can we, as a board, just... Oh, go ahead, John.
Oh, I think the main statute at play is ASO 4-21030, which states a licensee has a duty to exercise that degree of care a reasonable person would observe to ensure that a business under the person's control is lawfully conducted. This duty includes, but is not limited to, and probably the big portion of that is ensuring compliance of the premises with public health, fire safety. I'm focusing there on health. So what I think you might consider doing is for purposes of application of 04-21030, the board does not consider it a violation of the statute for a licensee to engage in X conduct and make sure that even if it's a beverage grade alcohol, you're not licensing them to permit the consumption of beverage-grade alcohol outside their license. From there, though, I'd still like to remind you, whatever direction you take on this, I still need to run through the enforcement committee, and that's something that can move quickly. But I think a motion providing your guidance to this individual would be something that both Alaska Brewery and any other distillery who gets this request could then take forward while the FDA and other entities are allowing them to basically transition their equipment over. The only other thing to make sure is once that equipment gets transitioned back to its normal use, you know, sanitation standards are met to make sure it's safe for the alcoholic beverage that people will again consume. All this is, I think there's a way of doing it, and I think it's more by way of guidance than an express green light. Let me try to get the express green light through the Department of Law and the Governor's Office, because it fits under the requirements of what things we need to do to respond to a public health crisis. I was at Costco earlier today, and guess what the store did not have? Any hand sanitizer. And guess why Angoon wants to produce its own hand sanitizer? They can't get any in their village. So there's a definite public health need for that.
Yep. So Joan made a, I think the language of the motion is in there. Who wants to try to take it up?
Do you want me to try to turn that into something tonight? Okay, too late, and then to give you something to vote on first thing in the morning, or do you want me to? I've got an hour. I've got 20 minutes. I can try to, or more than.
Do not put you on the spot. I think I want to make sure we get this right and give Alaskan Brewing and any other folks that, again, could step in on this, give them clarity and guidance. So to that end, I'd say take your time overnight if you could, please, and craft the language that meshes with the Department of Law and that task force, and we'll come out tomorrow with the action and clarity.
Okay.
There was somebody else spoke up?
Yes. Through the chair, this is Rex.
Yep, go ahead.
To Alaska Brewing, just a real quick question. Do we know if they get clarity in 3 hours or tomorrow morning at 10:30, is that going to change their ability or their timeline when they, in theory, would be able to have, medical-grade alcohol produced? What I'm trying to get at is we're going to try to expedite this as quickly as possible while being prudent. And is 8 or 9 hours, 12 hours, going to make a difference in their ability to move forward?
This is Jeff Larson. No, this is going to be a little bit longer process because the United States Pharmacopoeia is weighing in and FDA are weighing in. There are labeling requirements. When you're dealing with hand sanitizer, that falls under FDA regulations. When you're dealing with the hospitals, it's United States Pharmacopoeia. So we have a number of hurdles. PTB, which is the federal
tax and trade
analogous to the ABC board, have already made clear the guidelines that distilleries are given the allowance to, in this extraordinary situation, to produce for public safety purposes sanitizing agents. The issue that's kind of complicating things is FDA requires the compounding to be with denaturing substances that create essentially an unhealthy consumable product. So we would actually be putting a poison in. U.S. Pharmacopoeia does not accept that because they can't have that in hospitals. So long story short, there's a number of hoops that we have to go through, and this is a strategic one, I think, as has been alluded to. You know, we are also a licensed beverage manufacturer, and what we would be producing could be consumed, and that would be the awkward thing. What a still is it's illegal to be operating a still to make ethanol. It's a felony, and you know, that's not where we want to go. Our intent is not for it to go into the public domain as much as for the public health and safety. So I'm envisioning we'll be looking at some other types of limitations, whether it comes from the governor and the like, for hospitals, public safety, this is one of the key steps that we see is it's important to validate the process. The unique thing that we're in, and it's part of the Homeland Security designation as far as being part of critical infrastructure, we have opportunities to not only create, bottled water, we can make a lot of cream of wheat at our plant. And we have silos of grain. The interesting thing, or kind of the more responsible thing that we have to face, is part of that Homeland Security designation as critical infrastructure is we have to be able to retool and modify our operations given crises like this. We have a lot of grain on hand. Our logistics support for us puts us in a unique situation. When we fire up our distillation column, if it came to that, and I don't think it will, and I hope it doesn't, but if it came to that, we could operate that 24/7. We could make a lot of 180 proof ethanol.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question to Mr. Larson?
Yes, please.
Mr. Larson, is there any chance that the federal government will order you to basically reconfigure your plant to produce this? Because that'll create federal preemption issues. It would be a benefit to have a federal order directing you to do that from an enforcement perspective.
There is that possibility, no question about it. I think the thing is that this is what's really, really unique. In our situation, we don't have to reconfigure anything. We are already postured to make that. I mean, it's like I said, it'll be at least 2 weeks up before us to be able to manufacture. But the thing is that there's no retooling. This equipment is set up to make all manner of alcoholic strength compounds. That's the other attribute. Our still and distillation column is configured to be able to bring it to grain neutral spirit grade. So, yes. Could they demand that? Without a doubt. But I think what we're trying to do is get ahead. I would say, we're in a crisis mode, and what I think we have right now is our hospitals, while they are being taxed, they aren't overwhelmed. And so we hope it never gets to that point where they're overwhelmed. But once they're overwhelmed, and if an order came down, we'd be caught flat-footed. What we want to be able to do is jumpstart the process and hope we never have to use our capability.
Right, and I was wondering if you could get kind of ordered right away, not once the hospitals are overwhelmed. But that might be an avenue that is open if we can't get something in place sooner, but I hear what you're saying as well. Federal law will preempt state law. That's the nice thing about it. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Chair.
No, you're good. And and I think this is kind of a unique situation, given that it's, an existing licensee. And I'm kind of the opinion that I'm not one to wait for the federal government to tell us we can help ourselves, that we as Alaskans can do that on our own. And here we are. And I just want to make sure that we're not standing in the way of getting prepared and getting on our toes, so to speak, administratively or bureaucratically. I'd sure hate to think that confusion and lack of clarity on something like this would slow down us being more prepared without letting the proverbial horse out of the barn, so to speak. So that's what I'm hoping. I think the licensee is requesting that clarity, and I'm hoping that we can give it to them. And it sounds like we have a mechanism that Joan is going to be, you'll be working on getting that language correct.
Yes, sir.
That enables this.
Yeah, okay, I have one more question, and it might help make this a process where Mr. Larson doesn't have to go back to someone else. Are you also in communication with DEC, which generally has authority over buildings? And do you need anything from DEC that you know at present to permit you to do what you're trying to do?
Yes, we're in contact with DEC. Obviously, we have we've been brewing for 33 years, so we have already a relationship with them. We're also looking at the fact, I think my plant manager is wanting to make sure he reaches out to our local fire department, because when we make that type of strength of alcohol, we have, we want to make sure we do it safely. That's the thing. We have three chemical engineers on staff. We have two food scientists on staff. So the logistics and the capability that we have is kind of unique. And so it goes back to that homeland security reference to the word responsibility. We have a responsibility being part of the critical infrastructure, even though that's not why we started, that we didn't intend to be in this situation.
Very good. Well, there's some DEC representatives on this enforcement group, so if I can accomplish two things at the same time, I'll try to do that.
Thank you. That would be much appreciated.
All right. So good discussion. So, Joan, you've got language in mind that would be able to be formatted in the form of a motion for guidance or clarification for this licensee, that we can you'll be able to come back with us tomorrow for that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right, awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. And I think with that, we'll table this temporarily and pick it back up tomorrow, and we'll have a short subsequent follow-on discussion, and then hopefully Jeff will be able to get to the clarity you're seeking, and you can get to work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the rest of the staff.
All right. With that, any other comments from the board or staff or anyone? We'll open the floor before we close for the day. All right. Hearing none, we'll temporarily adjourn the meeting for the day, and we'll pick back up at 9 a.m. tomorrow. And I think I need a motion for that, don't I?
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
Recess.
All right, I'm not going to roll call. Anybody object? All right, hearing none, we'll see you all tomorrow at 9, or hear you. Thanks again, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.